Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil, powered by Coe's BMW. Here's former Denver Bronco Nick Ferguson and 104.3 TheFan.com Cecil Lamby.
Second half underway. Nugent kicks, first return opportunity for Omar Bolden. Got a big opening. Bolden, 40. Midfield Bolden, 40. 30 down the sideline and brought down inside the 25-yard line.
That's one way to create some emotion on your sideline. Omar Bolden.
Bolden back at his 16, outside the numbers. Takes it up the right sideline, 30. 40, has an angle. Got into territory, the Colts. No angle on him. He's going to go all the way. Touchdown, Bolden, 84 yards.
That's right. Omar Bolden. Super Bowl champion Broncos, former Broncos safety Omar Bolden joining us now on that Fireball VIP line. Omar, it's Nick and Cecil. Good evening and welcome to the show, man.
Yo, Nick, Cecil, thanks for having me on. Really quick, I want to say, man, I'm never going to get tired of hearing those clips you guys just say right here, man.
Exactly. That would get you hype. And I was going to ask you about that and about that play against the Colts that we just played there, because the type of returns, there was an Omar Bolden, kind of reset on a broadcast a few weeks ago when Deontay Spencer did that, because the Broncos had gone that long from that 2015 game until Deontay Spencer getting a return touchdown. So let's talk about, not a lot went right for the Broncos this year, but when you can have a return game like that, as John Gruden said in that clip as well, like, what kind of energy does that bring to you guys on the field?
Yeah, man, I mean, plays like that have a tremendous impact on the entire team, and it can shift the momentum in the game, you know?
Right.
For myself, you know, for that return in particular, I think we were down 17-0 headed into halftime, you know? Unfortunately, we ended up still losing that game, but it did shift the momentum, and it helped propel us to have a stronger second half. As for Spencer, you know, I think they were against Carolina, and I think the game might have been 0-0. I don't even really remember what the score was, but I remember being just as excited for him, because one thing I can't help but be a Broncos fan, you know. So
right.
I hate watching us suffer. I hate watching us lose, you know. But I was really happy for Spencer and for the team just to have some positive plays, positive explosive plays, you know. So obviously we were able to win that game, you know, with Spence returning that. So you see the type of impact those type of plays have on the team. And when you can do that, you know, the type of energy that I guess the offense and defense get from you now that you step on that field, now that they know that you can make those type of plays, can change the morale around the team as well. So, I mean, those things are important, man. Those things are important. Special teams should not be forgotten, man, because explosive plays and game-shifting plays can happen.
Well, speaking of game-shifting plays, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I have to tell the truth about certain things that have taken place. Now, you're talking about the bright spots, but there's always some things that could definitely be changed. The Broncos lost a heartbreaker to the Raiders, right? And it's not just the fact of losing the game to a division rival. It is how you lost the game. Now, I don't know if you had an opportunity to watch the game back, but if you did, what do you think about the actual play of Vic Fangio calling a timeout, allowing the Raiders to get their proper personnel on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's bad game management. You know, no one's perfect, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, do I think it was the best call? No. You know, I think we should have, you know, let Oakland give us whatever they had without giving them the time to think and pull out, you know, every trick that they had. But at the end of the day, you know, players still got to execute. And when I go back and watch that play, and just from watching the Raiders all season, you know, one thing we know is for sure is that Waller is their guy, you know?
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I think in that personnel, they have all tight ends on the field. So, you know, it's really no secret, you know, as to who the ball is going to. On top of that, you know, and this is a lot easier said than done, and a lot easier to say now that we're on the sidelines watching. But, you know, anytime I see a tight end out wide and off the ball, my antennas are instantly going up.
Thank you.
You know?
Yep.
Instantly going up. You know, tight ends are always on the ball. So when I get a tight end out wide and speaking of a tight end, this tight end in particular, we know this is their premier guy. This is their premier weapon on offense. I see him off the ball. On top of that, if I see a tight split between one or two receivers, I got to think something is up. We're in the red zone, so we automatically got to think about pick routes, you know? And obviously, that's exactly what they ran. They ran a pick route. I mean, I've been on teams with the Broncos. I've been on many teams with the Broncos. We've scored on so many plays with that, with Peyton throwing to Julius Thomas or to Demaryius Thomas, you know? So that is a very, very common play. Unfortunately, you know, we gave Las Vegas time to draw up that play. But, you know, as players, you know, we got to be prepared and ready for any situation that we get thrown into. So just overall, just bad execution on the coaches' side and on the player side. And that's unfortunate because we won't be able to get that taste out of our mouth until next season. So that's kind of just how it crumbles. The cookie crumbles sometimes. But hopefully for us, you know, I know we got some young guys playing on defense. That right there is a great teacher. It's a great life lesson, you know what I'm saying, for those guys moving forward. So hopefully we learn from that. You know, we get better from that. And hopefully we can put together a better campaign next season.
It's Omar Bolden, former Broncos safety and Super Bowl champion, joining us here, Nick and Cecil on the Fan. And Omar, we always know about the next guy after us that wears our number, right? Now, I only played high school football, but I know the guy behind me that wore 34. He wasn't very good, and I wasn't very good, so that guy's terrible. He was terrible. You wore 31, and when you left the Broncos after Super Bowl 50, the guy that took over that number, we've seen mature into one of the best safeties in the league.
He's a baller.
Justin Simmons. Yeah. What did you see from Simmons this year especially? Broncos dummied up. They should have got a deal done with this guy. His price is going to be so big as maybe the highest paid safety in the league.
Yeah. First and foremost, great for him. Great for him. This dude has played himself into some real money. Man, and it's beautiful to see young guys come into the league, get an opportunity to play, and take full advantage of their opportunities, you know? And I've been a fan of Justin Simmons since I've seen him walk in the door, you know? The kid had, like, a slender frame, you know what I'm saying? But he is a beautiful center fielder, man. He plays that ball so well. He's a ball hawk. He knows how to get that ball in his hands. He's a general back there. We can trust in him. You know, and I'm happy to see him play himself into some money. Like I said, man, I know this offseason he's gonna break the bank, rightfully so. Hopefully, we can keep him. Obviously, we want to continue keeping our marquee players, but at the end of the day, I am a player first, man, and I always want to see guys prosper and get the most. I'm a fan of Justin Simmons, man. I think he's a great player. He wears that number much more beautifully than I ever did, you know. So I'm just happy to watch his growth, and I'm hoping he continues to stay healthy and continues to make plays for a long time in this league.
Well, I hope he's able to do that, and a lot of that will have to do with the next GM that comes in, because John Elway has taken a step back or elevated, however they've kind of worded it here, as according to the spin doctors. But that GM position, that is all important. Would you like to see, or do you think it's time for the Broncos to now hire someone, a minority? Let's just basically put it that way, a minority in that position. Would you like for that to happen? And if so, do you have anyone in mind?
That's a great question. Before I answer that question, I do want to say that I think we're at a time in life and in history where I believe every Fortune 500 company, every large corporation and small corporation should begin to hire people of color at executive positions. You know, I think we're at that point where we need to make the playing field even and give people opportunities who rightfully deserve them, you know? So to answer your question, I do think that the Broncos should hire someone of color. Just to throw a name out there, there was someone that I spent three years with in Denver, and he was partly responsible for bringing me to Chicago, and that's Champ Kelly. You know, Champ Kelly was with us, a great scout with us while I was in Denver, and is responsible for bringing a lot of the talent in that helped us win a Super Bowl, you know? So Champ has been putting his legwork in for some years, man, and I definitely think it's time that somebody, if not us, someone gives him an opportunity to at least plead his case for being in a position like that, you know? So, yeah, I'm all for the Broncos hiring someone of color. I mean, I don't know if we have, I'm not too familiar with what we have in the office now, but it would be good to have someone of color in representing the Broncos organization.
Especially someone like Champ Kelly, who they have asked for an interview. They have been granted that interview as well. So hopefully that happens. Yeah, that just came down just a little while, a couple hours ago. Omar Bolden joined us, former Broncos safety, Super Bowl champion. And Omar, appreciate your time. Final question for you has to do with the transition between cornerback and safety, because you were both, in my opinion. Yeah. Like you were a corner, but you were a safety, you were a returner, you could do both. Michael Ojemudia was drafted not too far off from where you were drafted, but Ojemudia was a third-round pick. You mentioned the young guys in the secondary, and there are people that think he can be a safety because of his struggles at corner. I still hold out hope that he can be one of those versatile players like you were that could do corner and safety. What does it take for a player to be able to play both of those spots like you did?
Well, first and foremost, it takes you have to have the knowledge, right, to understand both positions,
right,
and the skill set. I'm not sure, you know, how smart of a player he is, but I mean, this dude's been in the lineup, you know, for the majority of the season. So I'm sure he's able to grasp and pick up, you know, anything that they throw at him, but more than anything, you need experience. And so one thing I was really happy at seeing from him this season was just the experience of being out on the field. You know, that's one thing that, you know, I think a lot of people don't really pay too much attention to. They just feel like, you know, you're a player, you just get inserted in and you can start making plays. But some players need that experience, man. And it's good that he got in as a rookie and got his feet wet, you know, because as he heads into year two, I'm almost confident that he'll be able to, you know, quiet the noise, the outside noise from the people saying that he should transition to safety. You know, it takes time. It takes time adjusting from the college game to the pro game. And like I said, the greatest thing that happened to him was that he was just thrown in the fire, you know, and that's all I think every player could ever ask for, is just to be thrown in the fire to gain that experience. Now that you gain that experience, year two, he hops in the mix, and things aren't as big. Big moments aren't as big as big moments aren't as big to him anymore, you know?
Right.
That goes for any player, you know, but the benefits you have of being a rookie and getting thrown in the fire, I think are 10 times greater than, you know, being an older player and then thrown in the fire.
All right, Omar, we got 20 seconds before we let you get out of here, but I could not allow you to do this without telling people where they can find you on social media and check out your fitness, everything related to fitness that you're doing. But really quickly, tell me how you can help my guy, Cecil Lammy, because I've been trying to get him off certain sports drinks to get him more physically active. What can I do to help out my guy, Cecil Lammy?
Oh, man, you got to pull up on him and help and come work out with him, man. Hold him accountable. So sometimes you need to, hey, you know, you remember when we were young, we would go on those field trips, you had a chaperone buddy.
Yes.
He needs an accountability buddy. He needs an accountability buddy. Sometimes we need someone to kind of just help us, push us along, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And as far as where you guys can find me on, the people can find me on social, at Omar.Bolden. That's on Instagram. On Twitter, I'm Omar Bolden. TikTok, Omar.Bolden. Triller, Omar.Bolden. YouTube, Omar Bolden Official. And yeah, and as far as what I got going on as far as fitness, I just dropped a dope program called How to Move Like an Athlete. Really breaking down the basic fundamentals to movement. And really just using all of my experiences from years of training and putting it into a nice PDF form for really, I really wanted to get this out to kids. I know with the current climate of COVID, you know, a lot of things are different now, you know, so I created this program for kids and also people who just want to improve their movement and become better athletes. You know, I think that if you have a body, you're an athlete. And I think everyone should start thinking like that. So the program is dope. It's 8 to 12 weeks. You don't need any equipment. However, I do use a little bit. And if you choose to purchase that equipment, I included all of that inside of my PDF, the ebook. And you can find that at the link in my bio on Instagram. So Everything I'm offering is in the link in my bio on Instagram, which is the beautiful thing about social media today. You can place everything in one spot. So, if you guys are interested in wanting to move better, or maybe you have a daughter or a son who needs the extracurricular movement and exercise, please tap in. You won't be disappointed. This is something that I think is timeless, and it's going to be here forever. So, that's it.
Well, I tell you what, man, definitely appreciate your time. I'm going to see everyone there. I'm definitely going to stay on Sisu to be his workout buddy virtually to try to get him in shape. But once again, man, definitely appreciate you. Stay safe out there in California and continue to put out those great videos, man. Thank you for joining the Nick and Sisu show.
Yeah, Nick, Sisu, thank you guys for having me, man. You guys stay safe as well. And, I'll hopefully speak to you guys soon, man.
Most definitely, for sure.
Go Broncos, Omar. Appreciate that, man.
Go Broncos, man. Let's just hope and pray for better days ahead, man.
There you go.
Yeah, I say amen to that, workout buddy.
You said I can't. Why?
You cannot be my workout buddy.
Why not?
Because if I invite you to Roxborough, you're going to be scared of the Bears.
Well, you know what, Cecil, that's the great part of conditioning, right? Because, I mean, I used to see those old, you know, tapes of John Randall chasing chickens around the yard to get faster because he was trying to prepare for
like
Brett Favre, right?
Yeah. Chase a chicken.
So basically, we pulled the bear out, right, and we let the bear chase us around, and obviously the person who's the fastest is not going to get eaten by the bear, so I'm okay with that.
And it's the Nick Ferguson Show, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on The Fan, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Many thanks to Omar Bolden for joining the program. Why and who else the Broncos are looking at GM, we'll tell you next.